Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. If you have your Bibles with you, if you'll turn with me to Matthew, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Here on this Epiphany Sunday, we remember the arrival of the three kings. Matthew, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea during the time when Herod was king. When Jesus was born, some wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. They asked, "Where is the baby who was born to be the king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was troubled, as well as all the people in Jerusalem. Herod called a meeting of all the leading priests and teachers of the law and asked them where the Christ would be born. They answered, "In the town of Bethlehem in Judea. The prophet wrote about this in the scriptures. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are important among the tribes of Judah. A ruler will come from you who will be like a shepherd for my people Israel." Then Herod had a secret meeting with the wise men and learned from them the exact time they first saw the star. He sent the wise men to Bethlehem, saying, "Look carefully for the child. When you find him, come tell me so I can worship him too." After the wise men heard the king, they left. The star that they had seen in the east went before them until it stopped above the place where the child was. When the wise men saw the star, they were filled with joy. They came to the house where the child was and saw him with his mother Mary, bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their gifts and gave him treasures of gold and frankincense and myrrh. But God warned the wise men in a dream not to go back to Herod, so they returned to their own country by a different way. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Glorious and eternal God, we pray, O Lord, that you will open our minds and our hearts and spirits to your word this day, that we may know you, that we may love you, that your word may take root in our lives and transform us more into the image of Christ. For we ask it in Christ's holy and blessed name. Amen. Happy Epiphany! The response would be, "Happy Epiphany." Let's try that again. Happy Epiphany. Not something you hear very often, is it? So many times Epiphany is one of those holidays that we just kind of glide over. There's all this build up to Christmas, and then all of a sudden we just jump ahead. Or most often, Epiphany gets lumped in with Christmas. Epiphany, the wise men are already there. There's the little baby Jesus in the manger with the shepherds and the star and the angels and these men on a camel. It all gets pushed together. But it's important for us to realize that the story of Epiphany, the story of the wise men, is not just an add-on to the story of Jesus. That it's a very special event. And the early church knew that, and so they set aside a special day to remember just that. To remember that there were three wise men, whether they were magi, whether they were magicians, whether they were wizards, whether they were kings. We don't know exactly for sure exactly what they were. But whatever they are, we know that they traveled a long distance following a star. We also have heard many wonderfully eloquent sermons about their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh and how they themselves represent the different facets of the life of the Christ child, that he is a king, and that he is God, and that he was the sacrifice for our sins. We've also heard many wonderful, wonderful sermons about how the arrival of the wise men means that Christ was not just for the Jews, but he was for us all. Here are these three men who have no understanding of the Jewish faith, these three men who have no real understanding of the concept of Messiah, these three men that we don't know what their faith was, if there any was their faith, and they were there at this blessed moment and welcomed, just as we are, just as we who are not of the Jewish faith are welcomed into the presence of the Christ child too. It's such a beautiful story, and there's so many wonderful contexts that we can take this. But the thing that never ceases to amaze me about the story is the journey. That these three men, for some crazy, insane reason, decided they were going to follow a star, because for them, that star meant something amazing had happened, and they wanted to be a part of it. They weren't quite sure exactly what it was. Now, they were smart. They knew, as many people believe, that some astrological sign meant someone great had been born. They really had no idea what they were getting into. They also had no idea where the road was going to take them, where they were going to end up, what exactly was going to be meeting them. I've often thought, I wondered if it ever crossed their mind, what happens if the star disappears before we get there? After all, stars sometimes don't necessarily hang out all the time, especially one this big and this bright. But yet and still, they made the journey because they had courage. You know, there's also something beautiful about the fact that Epiphany Sunday begins a brand new year. Because we don't know where the journey is going to take us. We don't know what 2016 holds. We hope that it's going to be pretty amazing. We certainly hope that for some of us, it's going to be better than 2015. Or if you had a really good 2015, you may hope 2016 will be just as good. But the reality is, we don't know exactly what the days of 2016 holds. And so for us, just as for the wise men, it's going to take courage. It's going to take courage to go into a brand new year and say, I'm going to live every moment of this to the fullest, even if I have no idea what's about to happen. My family and I traveled this past week. For some reason, Santa thought it was a good idea that we should join the other 500,000 people at Universal Studios the week of New Year's Eve. And I do not joke by 500,000 people. There were at least that many. It was insane. But we had a wonderful time. One morning we were up early, and I don't do roller coasters. I don't do roller coasters because I don't do the backseat of a car. If I'm in the backseat of a car and it's a windy road, I'm going to throw up all over your car. Just know that. And so I certainly don't do anything that's going to twist and turn and that's flying at 80 miles an hour. I'm smart enough to realize that is not for me. And so I was sitting outside waiting on the crazy parts of my family who had decided they were going to ride this roller coaster. And I was sitting there waiting, and there was this family that walked up to the entrance, and it was early morning hours, and so this isn't one of the hot ticket roller coasters that everybody was waiting on. So it was pretty easy to get on, and there was this dad and this older son who looked like he was probably about 14 or 15, and this little boy who looked like he was about 6. And they walked up to the little measuring place where it says you have to be this high in order to ride. And they walked up, and the 6-year-old was that high. And they were like, great, you can ride. And he just kind of looked at them. There was part of him that I could tell he was kind of hoping maybe if he bent his knees just a little bit, he'd be like, oh, darn, can't ride this, hate it for you. I'll just stand here with this strange man because it looks a whole lot safer than that. But they were like, oh, it's so great. And he kind of smiled, and he looked up, and just about that time, one of the cars passed over, and it was doing this little spiral thing, and he looked up, and his eyes got this big, and he just kind of looked back down, and they said, okay, it's going to be great, come on, let's go, and he just kind of froze, and he started shaking his head, and I couldn't hear exactly what he was saying, because he was talking in a little bit of whisper like this. And his brother kept, come on, it's going to be fun. You're going to love it. We've been wanting to do this. And he just stood there. And just about that time, there were some people who were coming off it. And there was a steady stream. And they're all laughing. You know, it's always great after it's over. Especially when you haven't looked at the pictures they've taken. And you have this horrified look on your face. But there were all these people, and look, and he's like, look, these people loved it. They thought it was great. And the little boy's looking at him, and you can tell he's trying to pluck up his courage. And just about that time, two little kids, just a little bit bigger than him, came right there and threw up right at his feet. And he looked at them, and he went, no way. And he didn't even wait for them. He just turned around and started walking back into the crowd. But courage is something that's hard, and especially when you don't know what you're getting into, or when all you see is little bits of it. Because all he can really see of that roller coaster is that one spiral right there that was terrifying to most folks, and then these people who were supposed to be having a good time came out and emptied their breakfast right at his feet. Neither two of what he knew sounded exciting or wonderful or worth it. And so he decided, you know, this just wasn't his to fight. It just wasn't worth it based on what he knew. Now, the fact is, I did have crazy family members who wrote it, and they thought it was wonderful and great and had a great time. And probably so did 90% of the people who had that experience. But based on what he saw and what he knew, he just didn't have the courage to do it. Well, the reality is, we really don't know what this new year is going to hold. We don't know what this new year is going to hold for our families. We don't know what this new year is going to hold for our schools. For those of you who are playing sports, you don't know exactly how everything's going to play out. We may have glimpses. We may know certain things are going to happen. We may know that there's going to be some good stuff that's going to happen. We may know that there's going to be some not so good that stuff's going to happen. There's some not so great stuff that's going to happen that we don't know when it's going to happen, but we know it's going to happen. We only have these little bitty glimpses of exactly what 2016 is going to hold. And here we are standing at the beginning of it, and there are people who are telling us, hey, it's a brand new year. It's going to be great and wonderful. But for some of us, we may be like, I'm not so sure about that. Because what we see doesn't look all that exciting. Ask your parents about tax season that's already looming. I came home from vacation and had the letter in the mail from my accountant. Don't forget to be getting all your receipts together. Kind of made me feel a little bit nauseous. But yet and still, we have this new year, but how are we going to face it? Are we just going to stand back and just watch it happen and say, hey, whatever happens, happens, and I'm just going to go from one safe thing to the next? Or are we going to trudge headlong into this, trusting that God's already there? You see, that's why the wise men could have the courage it took to go to destination unknown, searching for something they weren't quite sure of, is because they knew that whatever was out there was worth finding. They knew that whatever was out there was worth seeing. They knew that even though the journey could be long, and it was going to be difficult, and it was going to be exhausting, and there were going to be good parts and there were going to be bad parts, but they knew that in the end, what that star meant, what was happening, was worth being a part of. And so therefore, that gave them courage. The courage to face the future unafraid, because they knew that God was doing something amazing. The same is true for us. The same is true for us as individuals. The same is true for us as a church. The same is true as us for a school and as a community. Is we know that 2016, God has the potential to do something amazing. And I promise you this, God wants to do something amazing, but it's really all dependent, are we brave enough to meet Him there? Are we brave enough to follow where He is leading without knowing all the steps? Are we brave enough to go because we know that God is doing something amazing already there? It took tremendous courage for them to start this journey. And the same is true for us in the journey of a new year. It takes courage to live life to its fullest. It's so much easier to sit on the sidelines. It's so much easier not to play. It's one of the great things about all your sports. If you don't play, you can't lose. But the reverse of that is true. If you don't play, you can't win. It's so much easier just to sit out and watch. But we trust that God is doing something amazing, and He needs us to have the courage to meet Him there. There's something else we can learn about the journey of the wise men. Is not only did it take courage, but it also took a huge commitment. Because again, they didn't know where this star was taking them. They didn't know how long they were going to be gone. But they committed from the onset that we will not stop until we see what God is doing. The same is true for us. If we are going to live this new year to its fullest, we have to be just as committed. Not a partial commitment, not just committed to when it's convenient or when it's easy, but we have to be 100% committed to being, following, and doing what God has called us to do. That's part of being a team. When you said, hey, I want to play this sport, but I'm only going to come to practice on the days that I feel like it. If that was your response to your coach, what would your coach say? That's a real question. Anyone? What would your coach say if you said, hey, I don't feel like coming to practice today. I got something better to do. Think I'm going to go. What would he say? You're out of here. Exactly. Or if you said, you know, I know we have a game, but I just got an offer to go to a concert, so I can't quite make it. What would the response be? Don't bother showing back up. Exactly. When you made the commitment to be a part of a team, you made that commitment completely. You said that you were going to sacrifice a whole lot in order to be a part and to give your all to be a part of that. That's the commitment you made. Win or lose, you are committed to the team. You are committed to playing. You are committed to the sport. You are committed to the school. But so many times in life, we treat our commitments so much easier. We can be sort of kind of committed. Sure, I'll do that as long as it fits in my schedule. Sure, I'll be a part of that as long as I don't get a better offer. Sure, I'm happy to help you with that until the time comes for the heavy lifting. Are we committed to our faith? Each and every day of our lives, are we giving God 100% of who we are? Or is it only when it's convenient? When it doesn't clash and interfere with the other things that we want to do? You know, I love that Sam used the calendar as the example for the children's moments, because I have been mourning for the last 4 months that my 2016 calendar already almost looks as bad as my 2015. Planning all of these things in advance, trying to figure out when we're going to do this and when we're going to do that, trying to schedule. I have a huge family, and so even things like going to the dentist require months and months of planning and logisticals. It's D-Day was easier than trying to get my family to the dentist. Trying to make all of those things happen. I was talking to a friend about that's getting married this year. And well, he proposed to his fiance. They're getting married next year. And I said, so when's the date? And do you know what his response was to me? This wonderful, wonderful, dearest friend of mine is, I don't know, they haven't released the football schedule yet. This moment, pivotal moment in his life, cannot be planned until he knows exactly what the football schedule for Mississippi State is going to look like in 2017. That's commitment. You got to give him that. Of course, I don't know if he'd had that conversation with his fiance yet. But they're going to be a house divided. He's a Bulldog, third generation. She's a third generation Rebel. So Lord knows they may never get married trying to work around everybody's football schedules. But you know, the thing is, as ridiculous as I think it is, but the fact is, it shows that he's committed. But sometimes, perhaps, we choose the wrong things to be completely committed to. The wise men had to be committed. They were determined that when they left, they were not turning back until they saw what God was doing. Do we have that kind of commitment? Do we have that our own personal commitment of faith that we are going to not turn back in 2016 from reading the Scripture, from prayer, from worship, from study, from allowing God to transform us? Or do we start strong and then show up on the big days? Because you see, they were committed to the journey. But the reason they were committed to the journey is because they were committed to the star. They were committed to the one who set that star in the sky. They were committed to the idea that something amazing was happening in the world and that they wanted to be a part of it no matter what. And so the question comes for us on this epiphany, on this celebration of these wise men, on this celebration of a new year, are we just as committed to the one who set the star? Are we just as committed to being where He has called us to be and to being the people He has called us to be? Are we courageous enough to enter into the unknown, to follow where He leads, no matter what it costs, no matter where the road may take us? Because we believe with all of our hearts and our minds and our spirits that God wants to do something amazing in our lives in 2016. But we have to be willing to show up and see what happens. Let us pray. Glorious and wonderful God,